If you'll find 1 John chapter 5, I'd appreciate it. 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 14 to 21. We've been pleased to have Ed and Jane's daughter, Kathy, and their 3 granddaughters in the services recently as she came in to help take care of her mother. And Ed likes that. It takes care of him, too. And so, but it's good to see. Now, they're going to be traveling today back out to Michigan. And where in Michigan? Near Ann Arbor, Michigan, if any of you are familiar with it. And so that's something to remember in prayer. Matter of fact, let's do that right now. Father in heaven, we do pray for Kathy and the girls as they travel back. We ask you, Lord, to give them safety, and for a husband and the driving, we pray, dear Lord, that the car would run well, and but protect them from any accidents and give them a relaxing and enjoyable ride as well as a safe one. Thank you that they could come in and help with Jane and the needs there in the home during this time that Jane herself is dealing with heart issues and the gallbladder and trying to learn, dear Father, what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. So, Lord, so many needs that people have, and we bring them to you because you told us that we can bring our burdens to you and cast them on you. And so we do that in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him. Well, that's great to be able to have this confidence. This is not something that maybe will work, it might be, and so on, all right? This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now, I realize that there's sometimes we don't know what God's will may be for a particular situation that we're praying about. And so that's when what we may do is express to God what we think might meet that need. That's natural, and I don't think that's wrong. But then you've often heard it added to a prayer, nevertheless, thy will be done. And so we pray for what we think would meet the need, but we, just as much as we verbalize that to God, we verbalize also that we don't really know what will be best. And so, Lord, whatever your will is in this situation. Verse 15, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man, you see, when you pray, God will hear us, what the verse is saying. God will hear us. And if he'll hear us, we know we have those petitions. We know he's going to answer. And that's why it's so important that we pray, nevertheless, thy will be done. Because if we ask for something that isn't good for us and he doesn't give us that, then we're going to think he didn't answer. But if we pray, but your will, because you know, Lord, what's best, then we know we'll have the answer to our petition. That's a guarantee there. Now, what we got to do is get ourselves in line with God.
Yes, sir.
Okay? If we're going to be like a horse chomping at the bit, then you know, it's never going to go right. Now, look at verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask. And he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. You get the picture here? You see a fellow believer sinning, and you pray about that, and if that's a sin that's not unto death, God will answer that sin on behalf of that brother. But there is a sin unto death. And John says, I do not say that he shall pray for it. So you see what the situation is here. You got sin in your life, and people see it, and they pray for it, and you pray for it yourself. And if it's not a sin unto death, he'll answer that prayer. You say, well, how do I know if it's a sin unto death? That's what today's sermon's about. We're going to be talking about that. Verse 17 makes it clear. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. All the unrighteousness we do is sin. But that doesn't mean that it's all going to lead to our death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And Pastor has a very clear explanation there when it says we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. We know that we're not sinless, but in the new spirit, the new life that he's given us within, we're not going to sin in that life. But I say to you, if we live in the old nature, and if we do what we want, not what God wants, yeah, then we're capable of committing sin in this life. Verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. You ever wonder who is the true God? You have friends, you have acquaintances who believe in other gods. Maybe you have an Islamic friend. Maybe you have somebody who is in some kind of a cult, and they talk about God, but it doesn't sound like the God that you know. Well, he tells us here there is a true God. There's a lot of false gods out there, but this is the true God. And he tells us in verse 21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. The Bible teaches that a person's life can be shortened by sin. Now you sit up and take note and listen to what I'm saying. Do you want to live all of the years that you would normally live? There are people buried in the Black Creek Cemetery and every other cemetery, people there that don't need to be there. Okay? Now, of course, if they died 100 years ago, they'd be dead now anyway. But there are people that die sooner than they would need to die. Now, you and I don't always know when that's the case. We know physically if a person has a condition that's in their physical body, and then they have a lifestyle that is not good for that condition, we know they can shorten their life that way. But we're talking here not about that kind of physical condition, but we're talking about things of the soul and the spirit. Sin results in death. James chapter 1 and verse 14, if you're comfortable looking for these verses, indeed you turn to them. If you're not, then just let me read them and get what they say rather than attempting to find it and struggle finding it, and then when you finally found it, I'm beyond it. So the better thing there is just to sit and listen. All right, James chapter 1, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, own desires, evil desires, and enticed. So it isn't always something somebody else does. And things that somebody else does won't be appealing to you unless you've got your own lusts, evil desires. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Then, he's been enticed, he now participates in it. When that evil desire, that lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Yes.
The end result of sin is death.
Yes.
Always has been, always will be. But you can avoid that through Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Yes, thank
you. There is a sin unto death. Look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27. Wickedness will cause a man's life to be cut off, cut short. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be, what's it say? Shortened. Wickedness will cause a person's life to be shorter than what it needed to be. Now, to the Christian, to the believer, we have a similar warning. We're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Here what we have is the order and meaning of the Lord's table. And he tells us in verse 28, let a man examine, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, meaning the communion service. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation, judgment, to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now look at verse 30, speaking about Christians. For this cause many are weak and sickly. No matter what they do, they can't seem to get it together in their life. Their life is always weak. Their living is always impaired. They're weak and sickly. We know what sickly is. Now listen, please. You hearing me? Don't assume that every sick person is sick because they aren't discerning the Lord's body. All he is saying here, and it's important what he's saying, is that there are times in some Christians' lives where because they don't discern the Lord and live for him as they should, they are then for themselves causing them to be weak or sickly. And then it goes on and says, and many sleep. Didn't say some even. It says many sleep. Now the Bible uses the term sleep, the Apostle Paul does, for death, physical death. Of course, you've gone to viewings where a person's in a casket and it looks like they're sleeping. Jesus had this when he went to heal people, and he said to them, she sleeps, and they thought, no, she's dead. Okay, and so that term is used for death. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Okay? That's why verse 28 says, let a man examine himself. So if we judge ourselves about the way we're living, the things we're doing, what the Spirit of God has convicted us about, then we won't need to be judged by God. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, and here's how God will judge us. Sometimes he'll chasten us, chasten of the Lord, so that we won't be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. There's other things, okay? Now, the point is, as he says in verse 30, there are many Christians that sleep. They experience death. And they could have avoided that if they'd have judged themselves. But because they won't judge themselves, they force God to do it. And one of the ways that he does it is with physical death. Now, like I said, when somebody dies, and usually what it is, somebody dies and we know they were a professed Christian, but they weren't living for God. That's when we can be tempted to then try to determine, was this a judgment? And indeed, it may have been. But that's not for you and I. That'll just get us into a self-righteous frame of mind, thinking, you know, we're better than them. And so, that thought may come. Just don't entertain it. Don't entertain it. And so a sin unto death can be any sin. It isn't certain types of sins. There's times where we want to assign to alcohol and drugs a worse condition than we would to a gossip or a backbiter. You see, and it's not uncommon in churches that there are people who they would not drink alcohol, they would not do drugs, whether over the prescription or street drugs, they won't do that. Man, they have a problem with gossiping. And they gossip under the pretense of prayer. I got something I'd like you to pray for. I learned thus and such. Okay? or backbiting. Just, you know, backstabbing. Yes, might, you know, describe what we mean by backbiting. And you can find that in lots of churches.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I don't drink.
That's right.
I don't even smoke. Oh, I'm really strict with the videos we watch. And that's good that person doesn't drink, smoke, and watch sinful videos. That's good. But you know, you could fit into this sleep because you've got one of those attitude sins. See, I describe sins of the tongue in gossip and backbiting. You can have an attitude sin. Do you have an attitude sin? And the Spirit of God's been dealing with you? Now, which one of you is weak? God or you? He's been convicting about the attitude, and you're not. Are you dealing with it? That's the main thing. Okay? Are you dealing with it? If you're dealing with it, God will be patient with you. He understands your weakness. He understands why this has such a hold in you. But the thing is, you've got to be dealing with it. You've got to want to change it. And listen to me. None of this business, well, you know, that's how my mother was. Well, then she was wrong too. Well, just can't seem to change. My dad always. Your dad always what? Did the same wrong things you're doing? For pity's sakes, just admit it. You have a problem. You can't answer for your dad. But you will answer for yourself. When a person is continually warned of some sin in their life by the Holy Spirit and they willfully continue, that is a dangerous position. Don't be in that one. Don't be in that one. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also, tell me, church,
reap.
And so don't think that because not, you know, Ecclesiastes, I think it is, where because judgment doesn't come quickly, people think they can just keep on doing it. No, it'll come. It'll come. I want to look at some sins in the Bible that were unto death. Sins where God used death as the judgment. Now, there's many other forms of judgment that he uses. And now, again, listen to me. What's the purpose of judgment? It's to correct us to right living. It isn't to punish us. Same way with chastening. Chastening may involve punishment, but the purpose isn't punishing. The purpose is correcting us so that we can be like Jesus Christ. That's what it means in Romans when he says we are to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And the way that happens is for him to deal with our life and the things that are there. Listen, there are many people that are just nice people. I mean, they're good people. They're nice people to be around. They're pleasant. They're positive and encouraging. But that doesn't mean that they don't have sin. And they know, because the person I just described usually is not involved in the outward visible things that you can see. Because they are nice people, good people. So they're not into the things you can see. But those sins of the heart are just as real. All unrighteousness is sin. And therefore, envy. Okay? Covetousness. I want what they have. Why can't I have what they have? And then we want to go get spiritual. And, you know, I've lived for God all my life. I've been a good person. No, those sins are just as bad as the fellow who's going to dip snuff. All right, let's look at some of the sins that God has used death as judgment. And one of them is putting off salvation. Luke, we're going to the Gospel of Luke. In the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, I'm going to chapter 12. When I get to chapter 12, I'm going to look at verse 16. Putting off salvation. Now, there's different reasons why people would put off salvation. Put off receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. Okay? There's many different reasons. We're just looking at one, but the idea was he put off and paid for it. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? In this case, it was material things, substance. It was his wealth. I find it real interesting that the richest people in our country are the liberal leftists and the causes that they promote. And the causes which they promote would take away and change this country to the point that they wouldn't have been able to become rich as they are. Like the man in this parable, they got theirs and they don't care about anybody else. You know, when this guy's barns were full, he could have found a few poor people to give some things to, huh? Yeah. And I'm going to talk about some of that in the afternoon message. But nevertheless, you see, God required his soul. Now, you have something different in your life. If you don't know Christ as Savior, and I know many of you do, but if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, there's something in your life that is causing you, or that you are holding on to as a substitute for what the Bible teaches about you putting your, consciously, purposely, putting your faith in Jesus Christ who died on the cross. This is from within the inner man. We're not just talking about a head knowledge about God. Many people have that. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the devils believe that. But they're smart enough to tremble at the idea. And they can't get saved, but you can get saved. But you must come to the point where you will consciously, purposely put your faith in Jesus Christ. You say, how do I do that? It isn't praying that will save you, but prayer is what you'll use to express to God what it is in your heart and life. Now listen, if you've got a substitute, you're holding on to something, your goodness, maybe a religious upbringing, maybe it's the concern and care that you have for people, and you're depending on that. It won't work. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, we stress that and emphasize that so much, and we are so ardent in declaring it. Please don't mistake that ardent emphasis as a harshness, because it's not. We would not say that, except for the fact that putting off salvation can cause you to sin. That sin unto death. Proverbs chapter 29 in the Old Testament. So here again, we're not just dealing with with a New Testament matter. The whole Bible talks about this. Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. When people hear this message that I'm declaring, that others declare the message, that you must personally be born again. You must consciously, knowingly make a decision to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. It doesn't come. You don't get into salvation by just being in church.
That's
All the church does is give you the opportunity to hear the Bible being taught. And a person may not consider themselves to be reproved. Those of you sitting here may not consider yourself to be hardening your neck. You know what that means, don't you? Like when you tell somebody something they ought to do and they don't want to, and they stiffen their neck. Okay? That physical position shows an attitude inside.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And that's what the problem is here in verse 1. He that being oft reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed and without remedy. There's no changing it. If a person persists in putting off salvation, and they may not intend it to be a hardening, but man, I hope that pastor doesn't come by again and talk to me about God. I'm tired of hearing him talk to me about God. Well, you know, I go to those special meetings the church is having, but all they're going to do is stand up there and preach how you've got to be born again. You got to be born again. And I'm tired of hearing that. You're Proverbs 29, verse 1.
That's right. Yes, sir.
No, I haven't been in your home. I just know how it goes in home.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Hey, but listen, you backslidden Christian, you one that know you're saved, but you're not living for God, and you know you're not living for God, and God's convicting you of it, and you're not happy with it. That's the condition I was in at one point in my life when we were first married. The reason I'm chuckling is because Pat went to church faithfully in Sunday school. And she'd ask if I'd want to go along, and blankety blank, I'm not going. I got to sleep. Okay? And the pastor was a good man. And he said, I'll come out and visit Roger. So Pat told me that Pastor Weaver was coming out to visit. Well, what does he want? With a few expletives put in between. What does he want? Oh, I'm not staying and waiting for him. And I think, if I remember right now, if Pat were here, she'd know. I don't remember the visit. I just know I wasn't happy about the fact that he was coming. And I think what I did was jumped on my motorcycle and took off. Tough dude, man. I got a motorcycle and a black jacket. And so I got on my motorcycle and left. To my hurt.
Yes, sir.
Now praise God. His conviction got so heavy, I repented and got right. Still had the motorcycle, by the way. The problem wasn't the motorcycle. The problem was the jerk on the motorcycle. Rebellion against God and leading others into rebellion is another reason why God will bring sin that can bring sin unto death. And in Jeremiah chapter 28, it talks about the prophet misleading people. And God said to Jeremiah, that prophet is wrong. He's not doing it right. He's saying something that I didn't put in him. And God judged him by taking his life. Hananiah, I believe, was the prophet's name. Murmuring against God's man. We got to look at that one. Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. Usually people have enough time to find it in the Bible because I'm so slow in getting there. I never was good at sword drills. All right, Numbers chapter 16 and verse 41. But on the morrow, all of the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And Moses and Aaron fell on their face, and Moses said to Aaron, go get the censer. We got to atone for the congregation. And verse 40, Aaron took as Moses commanded, ran in the midst of the congregation. Behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Why? Because they were murmuring, complaining against the men of God. Don't complain about your pastor. If there's something that you feel is not right, you ought to personally, privately go and talk to him. And in the case of our pastor, I know we have a man who can be approached. But I realize there may be others listening to this message who have a different man as their pastor. And whether he's approachable or not, in your opinion, you still need to go to him privately, share your disagreement. But then the bottom line is God is going to hold him accountable for that congregation, not you. And so if it doesn't go the way you'd like, just deal with it. Because one of the judgments that God could bring would be like he did here, where he put a plague in the people. You see, sometimes people die, and then other times, I don't know what in the world happened in my life. Everything seemed to be going okay, and now everything's a mess. No matter what I do, it just doesn't seem to work. If you're a Christian, hey, take a long, deep look. Examine yourself, because God will reveal what's going on. Then lying to the Holy Spirit. Remember that one? Who were those two people in Acts? Thank you. Ananias and Sapphira. I'm trying to save time here. We're already at 12:01. Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to the Holy Spirit of God. And why? Because they wanted things to look like they weren't. Don't live a lie. Yes, trying to make things look like they're not.
Yes,
religiously or spiritually in your life.
Yes.
God, we don't want God to use the judgment of death.
Amen.
And then refusing to judge ourselves. We were in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 before, and I'm going to end with that now. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 30, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged of the Lord. But refusing to judge ourselves can cause us to sin the sin unto death. There isn't any sin but what God will forgive it. And God will bring to your life the very thing you're actually desiring. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how thankful and grateful we are.